Most important elements in Masechet Bava Metzia is Momen Amutal B'Safek. We have something of value, a possession, an object, and there are two people, or maybe more, that are disputing ownership. Each one's claiming ownership. And that requires rules and regulations. How do we paskin in a case of Safek Momen? Shnayim Ofsin B'Talos, the Mishnah says, very famous, if two people are holding on to a talus, each one has a muhzakus in the talus. Exactly what that muhzakus means, the Gemara is going to take up later on. Ze omer ani mitzasiya. This one is claiming that I found it first. The ze omer ani mitzasiya, the other one who's also holding on to the talus, he says I got it first. In the case where we know it belonged to someone originally, and then someone else is grabbing onto it, that's called marakama. And then we say, Amotzi Mechavel of Arai, you can't just grab onto someone else's talus. But here everyone admits that this was a talus shel hefker, this beged was ownerless. And the question is, who came first? Kol HaKodem Zocha. Is the Mishnah Paskin, Zei Yishava She'ein Lo Ba Pachos Michetzi, Zei Yishava She'ein Lo Ba Pachos Michetzi, Yachloku. So the principle here in the case of Tumuk Zokim is Yachloku. But the Chiddush here is, not that we split the talus, again splitting it meaning splitting its value, but rather that each one has to take a shvua. Again, he can't take the shvua to support his claim on the entire talus, because then we're instituting two shvuas, one of which is definitely a shvua sheker that we want to avoid. Also, there's a rule in shvua that you take a shvua on that which you will be granted if you take the shvua, and you'll be granted only half the talus, so you're only going to take a shvua on half the talus. Although again, you're not admitting that only half is yours. Your formula, your declaration in the shvua is ein li ba pachos mi chetzi, I have at least half, maybe more than half. Now, why does each one have to take a shvua? This could be a special takaras chachamim, and it's not really a classical shvua, or it might be a kind of Modav Miksas type of shvu, which is a doraisa, because the very fact that you don't have a chazak on the other half means that in a sense you're moda, you're admitting on the other half, even though again that's not your official claim, you're claiming the entire talus is yours, but there is almost a built-in testimony that the other person owns half the talus. So if you're claiming the entire talus and we have testimony on half the talus, that's already a kind of modem mixas, and maybe the shvua could come under a classical shvua doraisa. The Mishnah goes on to give a second scenario, but again, where two people are holding on to a talus. In this case, one of the two machzikim, Zeomer Kula Shali, is claiming the entire talus is his. He got there first, he picked it up. Zeomer, the other one, who's also holding on to half the talus, claims Chetzi Shali. In other words, he's mowed on half the talus. That half the talus is not his. He's only claiming half for himself. Now, what would you say logically in this case, even without reading the Mishnah? On the one hand, I would say that the one who's claiming half the talus has a chazakah that supports his claim. And therefore, let him take a shvua based on the ratio of the Mishnah on that which he is claiming. And let's grant him half the talus. But there's another way of looking at this. It's a little bit more complicated because, in effect, there is a Shnayim Oksin B'Talus on the half of the talus that he's claiming is his. Meaning, once he has admitted that he has half but only half, and the other half belongs to the other guy, then the entire controversy focuses on the half that he's claiming is his. And on that half, he's claiming the entire half is his. The other one is claiming the entire half is his as well. So the Mishnah Paskin is the following. HaOmer Kula Shali Shava She'ein Lo Ba Pachos Mi Shlosha Chalokin. HaOmer Chetzi Shali Shava She'ein Lo Ba Pachos Mi Revia. V'zeno Til Shlosha Chalokin V'zeno Til Revia. So the Gemara actually adopts the second possibility that we suggested, that as far as half the talus is concerned, there's a hodas baldin, there's no debate. Both litigants admit that it belongs to, let's call him Reuven. Reuven and Shimon are arguing about the second half of the Talos. And we're going to apply the principle of the Reishi of Shnayim Oksav of the Talos to the second half of the Talos. The second half of the Talos becomes now the focal point of Shnayim Oksav of the Talos. Each one's claiming the entire Talos is his. And now what happens is you take that half of the Talos on which there's a debate, a controversy, and you split it in half. In effect, one of the litigants, we'll call Reuven, is going to take three quarters of the Talos. On half, there was no debate to begin with. Shimon admitted that it was Reuven's. And on the other half, he's going to take half, which is half is a quarter. The only thing that sort of surprises us here in this Sefer, this Mishnah, is the Nusach HaShvua. Why does a person have to take a shvua on three quarters of the talus? Let Reuven be granted half the talus. It's his. It's, so to speak, in the bank. And now that they're debating and fighting over the other half of the talus, let's be mechayev each of them a full-fledged shvua on half the talus, which means each one should be saying, Ein li b'pachos mi revi'ah. But for some reason, the Mishnah insists that we view the talus as one entity. We're not willing to take half of it and grant it up front, right away, to Reuven, because there's no debate about it. Now the Mishnah goes on, and we're talking about a similar case of a controversy about two people, but in this case it's not a talus that's the subject of the controversy, but rather a behema. Hoyushnayim rochvin al gabi behema. If both Reuven and Shimon are riding the animal, oshaya echad roche v'echad manhig, one of them is riding on the back of the animal, the other one is just leading the animal from the outside. He's not sitting or possessing the animal itself. Zeh omer kula shali, zeh omer kula shali. If we assume that since both are riding, or one is riding and the other is leading the animal, both have a chazak, then it really brings us back to the resha to Shnayim Oksav v'Talos. And indeed, that's how the Mishnah paskins. It's a repeat of what we saw in the Reisha. And one could ostensibly argue that the Chiddush here in this repeat is that you don't have to have two Rochvim to have Shnayim Oksav, meaning the Achiza of the Talus. In the case of the animal is Rechiva, two people are Rochvim, that's equivalent to two people Oksav grabbing onto the Talus. But the Chiddush would be now, what about if one is a Rochev and one is a Manig? Does one have a superior position to the other? Is there more of a Chazaka in the case of a Rochev, because he's really, you know, grabbing onto the animal, so to speak? Or perhaps the opposite, there's more of a chazak in the case of the manik, because he's really leading the animal, he can take the animal wherever he wishes. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that no, manik is not superior to rochev, nor vice versa, and therefore we apply the principle of yachloku. The Mishnah continues, Bizman Shehem Modim, Oshiyeshlem Edim, Cholkim Belo Shvua. If we have two people claiming a talis, and each one can induce Adim to support his claim, and in such a case there's no need for a shvua, because Adus is that much greater than a shvua. Whenever a litigant has Adim to support his claim, he doesn't need to take a shvua. But the Mishnah gives two cases. There's not only the case of Adus, where that replaces the shvua, there's also the case of Odas Baldin. Each one is molded to the other one, that they both simultaneously lifted up the talus, and neither one of them has superior rights to this talus, and therefore we say yachloku. In such a case, there's no need for a shvua, because each one is admitting that they both picked up the talus together, and one wasn't makdim, one didn't come first before the other. One would wonder why the Mishnah felt compelled to teach us a chiddush here, kaviyochel. I don't know what the chiddush is, that if they're both mode, each one admits that the other one picked it up together with him, that there's no need for a shvua. I mean, a shvua is only meaningful when there's a claim and a counterclaim, when somebody sues and the defendant denies the claim. But here, if both of them are actually happy, I'm not exactly sure why they b'chalal came to the Bezdin. Why did this case come to the attention of the court in such a way that they have to paskin yachlok? So that's a question that we'll have to come to grips with as we go through the sugyas. Now we begin the Gemara, and we talk about the Mishnah of Ani Mitzah Siha and Kula Shali. Lamali Le Mishnah Zelmer Ani Mitzah Siha Vezelmer Ani Mitzah Siha Zelmer Kula Shali Vezelmer Kula Shali. There seems to be a certain verbose, unnecessary use of language here in the Mishnah. Lisnei Chada, why did you say that one is saying Ani Mitzah Siha and the other one is saying Ani Mitzah Siha? Well, one of them is saying he's Kula Shali and the other one is saying Kula Shali. Why the repetition here of Ani Mitzah Siha and Kula Shali? Obviously, if Ani Mitzah Siha, then it's mine. And if it's Kula Shali, it means Ani Mitzah Siha. So the Gemara answers, Chada Ketani, Ze Omer Ani Mitzah Siha, Ve Kula Shali, Ze Omer Ani Mitzah Siha, Ve Kula Shali. It means that these are not two different cases that are being addressed by the Mishnah, it's one case. And the Kula Shali is just an explanation fleshing out his claim when he says Ani Mitzah Siha. Ani Mitzah Siha, well, you know, how much of it did you find? Maybe he also found it. No, Kula Shali. The Gemara is not happy because for listening, it should have really said in that Mishnah, Ani Mitzah Siha, Va'anoya Dana de Kula Shali. This V'anoya Dana is not an emendation that the Gemara is suggesting in the language of the Mishnah, otherwise it wouldn't have been in Aramaic, because the Mishnah is in Hebrew. But rather, I know Yadana is a description of the reader, that's you and I who are reading this Mishnah. I know Yadana, we would know, and so the Mishnah didn't have to spell out the Kula Shali. Once the claim was made on Mitzah Siha, everybody who hears that claim understands that inherent in that claim is Kula Shali. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to flesh this all out? We know that the Mishnah is very stingy on ink. And the Gemara answers, Itana Ani Mitzah Siha, Hava Mina Mai Mitzah Siha Re'isiha. Afal Gav Delo Asoi Liyode. The word Mitzah Siha itself could be interpreted in two ways. It could be that Mitzah Siha means I grabbed the whole talus. But it could be Mitzah Siha means I saw the whole talus. Meaning I saw the talus, and therefore I have rights to this talus. We're talking about a talus shel hefker, it's ownerless, it's laying in the middle of a public place, a public thoroughfare. So I would have thought in this Hava, of Ani Mitzah Siha, that everyone is modeh, that in terms of who picked it up first, well, he picked it up first. But it doesn't matter that he picked it up first. That's irrelevant. My claim is I saw it first. And if I saw it first, that makes it mine. And I forgot the law slightly, even though I admit that the talis, this mitzvah, did not come into my hands. I didn't lift it from the ground. But nevertheless, my claim is Bari'iyo bi'alma kani. If I was there first to see it, even though I didn't pick it up, there's a kinyan re'iyah. And this Gemara is very strange. Where do we find such a thing as a kinyan re'iyah that we'd have a havamina to say that Mitzah Siha means re'isiha? Such that lochein, therefore, Tana, the Mishnah had to add Kula Shali. And the mashmos, the meaning of Kula Shali, is that I lifted it first before my friend came along to grab it out of my hand. And the Tana wants to tell us a chiddush that Re'iyah is not a kinyan. You need kinyan Meshicha, Yad, kinyan Hadbah. There's no such thing as a kinyan Re'iyah. Re'iyah below Agbah is Ein Konim Dvar Hefki, cannot be Konim. Let's point out that the Havmin that Re'iyah, seeing an object is a kinyan, that only applies to Hefke. Clearly in the case of Hakna, when Reuven owes something and Shimon now wants to possess it, Shimon seeing the object is not enough. We certainly clearly require Maisa Kinyan. There was never a Havmina that Re'iyah would work by Hakna. Re'iyah might work by Hefker. Even though, as Tosus points out, Tia B'Dibra Maskel Re'iyah, we already know from the Gemara later on in Daf Tes Amid Beis, that if a person sees a Mitzia, and he turns to his friend, he says, give me the mitzvah. And his friend then turns around and picks up the mitzvah, al das atzmo, for himself. It belongs to his friend. It belongs to the sheni, who picked it up al das atzmo. And why would that be so? If re'iyah is enough to make a kinyan, And not only that, the Gemara later on in Daf Yud says that if a person sees a mitzvah and he falls on top of it, he's not kona. In other words, nefilah is not a kinyan chazaka. Why not say that he was konet beri'ya? Who cares about whether he was konet benefilo or not? And Tosis answers that, let's just read the answer of Tosis. He says, came in the Omer Tneu Li Oshanafal Le Goli Daitad Lo Nichle Le Mikne Ad Shiagia Li Yoda. Now, the rule of thumb is that you can be kona with re'iyah according to the Havmin of our Mishnah. And in those cases where you're not kona, the reason you're not kona is beri'iyah because you did an action that indicated that you weren't in the least bit interested in re'iyah. The very fact that you threw yourself on the object, or the fact that you turned to your friend and asked him to make a kinyan akbar on your behalf, that is a clear-cut raya, clear-cut indication that you had no intention to be kona through re'iyah. So let's put the cards on the table. Re'iyah, even according to this havamin, is kona only bekavanas kinyan, and only, as we said before, in the case of hefter. Now there is one gemara that seems to indicate that you can be kona hefker with re'iyah. And Tosis, one line up before the end of the page, quotes a Gemara later on in Bava Metzia. Habata behefker kani. That when an object is hefker, you could be kona just with habata. Habata means that you saw it. That's basically kinyan re'iyah. Tosis says, nay, there's a difference between re'iyah and habata. Habata means you did a more intense gazing. But what does it mean in our context? What you did was, you did a maisa kaldu. You did some sort of an action. You built a small fence around it, a goder katan, he says. So the Gemara now asks, Umi matzis amrit, my mitzasir risiyah. What kind of havmina do you suggest that mitzasir we would have interpreted to be risiyah of Omar? We have a statement of Ravina on the pasuk that says, in Parshas Ki Teisei L'chol Avedas Achicha Asher Tovei Mimenu Mitzasah, and the word Mitzasah means the Asoy Liyodei Mashma. The Gemara says that clearly the word Mitziah here means to find and lift up something, find and possess something. So we have a clear cut raya, an understanding, a proof that Mitziah does not mean Re'iyah. In, says the Gemara, mitzasa dikra, with regard to the mitzasa in the pasuk, the asol yadei mashma. Certainly, to interpret the verse in the Torah, we would say mitzasa means he picked it up and it's in his hand. Umiu, however, Tana, the Tana here of our Mishnah is lishna di alma naked. It employs lashon b'nei adam. No, it's not the technical language of halacha, but the language that people speak, the vernacular. And in lashon b'nei adam, midechazile amar ana ashkechus. What does that mean? In lashon b'nei adam, when a person sees a lost object that's hefker, he says he found it. But what does it mean? He found it. He didn't find it halachically, because to find it and possess it halachically, you need an act of kinyan. But the words anoa ashkechais, even though you've convinced me that it's explicit in the Torah, in the verse l'chol afedas achich shetoch menu mitzasa, that mitzasa means that it came into your hands and you did akbah, but nevertheless in lashem rei adam, people sometimes use the term mitzasiya. And what they mean is that once I saw it, I was kona it, even though it never really came into my hands. And I would think, therefore, that beri'iyah be alma kani. That if it only had said ani mitzasi in that Mishnah, that maybe the Mishnah is predicated on the principle that you can be kona hefker with re'iyah. Is there for tani kula shali? The Mishnah added kula shali beri'iyah be alma lo kani le. That it's not enough just to see the hefker, you have to actually lift it up. And re'iyah is not a kinyan. And it's interesting that on this concept of Re'iyah Zahava mean to be Kone, we have something a little bit similar in the case of Hegdesh. That it could be that in the case of an animal, that you look at the animal and you have in mind that it should be Hegdesh. According to one opinion, it is Hegdesh. And basically the Hegdesh is Chal through Re'iyah without a mice of Meshicha or any of the other Maisei Kinyan, and now it belongs to Hegdesh. We also find that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Moshe prayed to go into the land, is Alei Rosh HaPisgah Soidechu Re'ei. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem said, okay, go up to the mountain, you'll see the land, and Bere'iyah, you'll be Mekadesh. So you see that as far as Kiddusha, the Dover Shesh Bo Kiddusha is concerned, you could be Mekadesh something with Re'iyah Ba'alma. The Gemara wanted to take a step further and say that maybe there was a half minute to expand that and say that even in Kinyonim, in the case of Hefker, Re'iyah Ba'alma Kani. Because basically all the Kinyonim of Hefker are trying to get, you know, this is mine, I have first rights to it, you know, who came first? It's not really that you take the Hefker into your Rishus. That's true for all Kinyonim, because you have to take it out of the Rishus of the Makna, and you have to bring it into your Rishus as the Lokech, as the Konen. But here, there's no one to get rid of. Meaning, it's Hefker. You don't have to take it out of the Rishus of the owner. There is no owner. So what do we do in the case of something that's Hefker and Mitzia? We have to see who gets first dibs. And maybe we can rely on Re'iyah. Kamashma the Mishnah says no, Kulishali means that he lifted it up. He made an absolute complete kinyan and maisaki. The Gemara asks, Velisni, wouldn't have made more sense that the Tana should say Kulishali Velo Boyani Mitsasia? Obviously, if he's claiming it's mine, it means that he found it, and you know, whoever lost it, that's a problem, but he found it. And the Gemara answers, no. Itani kula shali. If he only had the words kula shali avamina, bi alma dikatani misasiya, is beria bi alma kani. I would have thought that wherever it says in a Mishnah or in a Braisa that a person who finds a lost object, he makes a kinyan on it, what it means is beria bi alma kani. I could have actually interpreted that when the Mishnah, and we'll see it in the Braisa as well, says that you know, it's not enough to find a Mitzvah, meaning see a Mitzvah, you have to actually lift it up and make a Kinyan Akbar on it. Maybe what's being indicated here is Ria Ba'al Makani. Here we have a problem. When the Mishnah uses the term Mitzasiyah, what does it mean? We look in our Mishnah, and if you drop the words Ani Mitzasiyah and all you have is Kula Shali, you would think that wherever the Mishnah in Shas uses the terminology Ani Mitzasiyah, it's a reference to Re'iyah. Why? Because here in the Mishnah it says Kula Shali, meaning I made a Kinyan Akbar and I lifted up the talus. If it had only said Ani Mitzasiyah, it would have meant Re'iyah. So therefore, the Mishnah has to go out of its way to say Ani Mitzasiyah v'hadar tana kula shali, and now we know that there's extra words there. We could have sufficed with kula shali, but why did the Mishnah add Ani Mitzasiyah? Mishnah yiseirash me'ino de re'iyah lo kani, wants to teach me that in general, re'iyah is not effective as a kinyan. The Gemara asks the following question, Mi matzis amrit chada katani? Can you really read the Mishnah Ani Mitzasiyah v'kula shali as one case and one taina? Why did the Mishnah separate it by saying Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeh Omer Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeh Omer Ani Mitzasiyah, and again Zeh Omer Kula Shali, Zeh Omer Kula Shali? Why? The extra Zehs over here would apparently indicate that we're talking about totally different cases, different claims and different cases. So again, you see that the Tana felt compelled to add the words Zeh and Vizeh in order to separate them into different cases. Omer Rav Papa, the Itema, Rav Sima Bar Ashi, the Amri Lei, Kdei is the name of a Chacham. Is Reisha b'Mitzia u'v'Seifa b'Mekach u'Memkar. This is a major breakthrough here. The Reisha is talking about a case of two people who are fighting over a lost object. The Seifa is talking about a case of a sale. And each one is claiming it's mine. The object is mine. I bought it from the mocher. So the Mishnah tries to tell us that in both these cases, first of all, Metzia, and secondly, Mekachu Memkar, the din is Yachloku. And Yachloku means, as we said before, with a Shvua. Utsricha. Why does the Mishnah feel compelled to tell me what would be if two people are arguing over Metzia and two people are arguing over Mekach? I mean, l'chora, the same rules and regulations should govern both cases. And the answer is, itana mitziah, if it only had the case of mitziah v'amina, the mitziah de rami rabbanon shvuale, de mori v'yomar chavroi, less midi, lav midi chaser be, ezel atvis v'espalig behadei. If the Tana would have only written mitziah, I would have thought that only in the case of Mitzvah is there a meaningful takana on behalf of the Chacham that he has to take a shvuah to support his claim. And the reason for that is because in the case of Mitzvah, if you don't force the shvuah on him, you know what, it's easy for him to lie. And he'll justify in his mind, the other guy didn't lose anything. So there's always what's called a more. More means a ras heter, where the person pacifies himself and convinces himself that what he did was okay. And the Omar, Chevroi lav midi chaser bei. In our particular set of circumstances, the other fellow is not losing anything. So easy for a person who has the gears to convince himself that what he's doing is right and to justify it. In the case of a Metziah, you know what, he's going to lie a little bit and he's going to say, you know what, I'm not stealing anyone's object because the object is a Metziah, it's Hefker. And therefore, v'yomar chavroi lav midi chosavei, since my friend is not losing anything, I might, you know, I'm really, really tempted, and that's what he did, to claim it's mine. My friend's not losing anything, this is not gzela, you know, I'm not coming him as an armed robber or anything. And therefore, ezel atvis v'espalig ba'adei, I'm going to go ahead and grab this mitzvah from his hand, and we'll split it. So that's why the Chacham are compelled to introduce and establish a shvua here. Because such a person with all his horas head there and he justifies what he did and he thinks he's a tzaddik or at least he's not a Rosh Marusha, the Chacham are going to impose upon him a shvua. Because we do smell that something is not right here. There's a fashtunk of the fish here. That's in the case of Mitziah. And Mitziah needs a shvua. That we understand. But the Torah did not add any, the Mishnah did not add anything about Mekachu Memkar. Avol Mekachu Memkar, Deleka Lemei Marhachi. You know, what's this liar going to do? You know, he's going to somehow be more ahead to Liatzmo to say that that he didn't sell the object? I mean, his friend paid good money for this object. So why, in the case of Mekachu Memkar, shall we change the din? Two potential buyers are claiming each one, I bought it, and it's mine, Kula Shali. And in such a case, we need the Mishnah to tell me that each one has to take a Shruah on half. Logically, I would have suggested there's no point to adding a shvua here, because there's no element of horas heter. I mean, what if Reuven knows very well that Shimon bought this object and he's lying through his teeth, such a person will lie even with a shvua. It's only where there's horas heter in that gray area, like the case of Mitzia. No, but now you can ask it the other way around. Why couldn't the Mishnah have told me the case of Mekachu Memkar, and then from that I would have derived, certainly in the case of Mitzia. So Gemara says, "V'itana mekachu memkar." Is I would have thought, "Dafka mekachu mekar du rami rabbanon shvuale." That's where they introduce and require a shvua, and they're not afraid that someone who grabbed the talis against the law, you know, as a criminal act, would go so far as to take a false oath. Mishum demori. V'omar chavroi domika yoev, I know a domika yehivna. Ah, We're not afraid in Mekach u'Memkar that he would take a Shvua Sheker outright. What we're afraid of is again a Mora Hora. What's the Mora Hora in the case of Mekach u'Memkar? It is that, you know, I also paid. Okay, he paid to the Mocher and I paid to the Mocher. No Adami Koyoiv, I also gave money. And therefore I want to get my money's worth here and I'm going to claim that this is mine. Is hashta the tzrichi l'didei is ashkele anoa the chavrech lezel l'trach l'lizman. You know what? Maybe my friend also wants to buy this, but you know what? He doesn't need it as desperately as I do. I need this talis. This is the only talis. I have to wear it to shul. I'm going to grab it. I paid for it. And the other lokech should fly the kite because he's going to have to work hard, but he'll find another talis out on the market. He's not in the same desperate sense, you know, urgent sense of, I got to get this talis. I paid for it, I want to get it. No, we'll give him back his money and let him buy a different talis. But each one is going to say to himself, you know, I need this talis. Tzrichi l'didi. And therefore, I'm going to claim that it was I who made the kinyan first. And in such a case, we're not talking about anyone who would violate an Isak Zela, right? He didn't go that far. He's just more ahead to allow himself to claim that it was he who bought it, but in fact he did pay it. And therefore, if he's not chashed on Gezel, we can allow and rely on Ishvuah. When this guy grabs it and he takes it out of the other guy's hand, there's no Ross Heter over here. And this is an outright Maisik Zela. Is Ema low? I would think that maybe there's no room for Shvua on someone who's chashed to steal money. Is Tricha. Therefore I need the Tana has to tell me both the case of Metzia and the case of Mekach u'Memkar. So again, even though in the case of someone who grabs onto the talis of Hefker of Metzia illegally, we said before he has a certain Oras Heta because his friend is not going to miss out on anything, he's not losing anything, but nevertheless, now the Gemara is going with the opposite Sfar, that he's grabbing onto the talis, taking it out of someone else's hands, that's a nice Gzela. And I would think therefore he's Choshen on Gzela, he should also be Choshen on his Shvua, he's going to take a false oath. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to tell us that in both of these cases of Metzia and of Mekach u'Memkar, both litigants will take a Shvua. Now, the Gemara thinks at this point that Mekach u'Memkar is only if one of them paid the most. So the Gemara says, Mekach u'Memkar v'lechse zuzi v'man nokat. You want to know which of these two gentlemen bought the object? The answer is, let's see who paid for it. And that's something that the Mocher is going to be able to provide us with that information. No, that's not the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not a case where the Mocher received money, received payment from one of the two Lokhim, but rather he received a double payment. Payment from Reuven and payment from Shimon. Michad mi daite. In one of these two cases, when he accepted the money as payment, the Mocher had in mind that the Nokat Mitravai. Mocher received payment from two different buyers. And one of them, he really had a complete Hisratzus. We don't know which one it is, but if we could only know it, the Mocher wanted to sell it to so and so. B'chad Bal Karche. The other one just grabbed the object or half the object and threw the money on the table. And the Mocher never agreed to sell it to him. It was all Bal Karch who was shoved down his throat. V'lo yadana, but we don't know, and the Mocher can't tell us, mi hu midaite, mi hu Bal Karch, who came first, and the Mocher was very happy to sell it to him. He accepted the money and was makna the object to so-and-so. But that would be fine if he only could identify, you know, which person he sold it to and which person Bal Kocho threw it into his face after he had already sold it to the first guy. Lo yadana, we don't know. Mi umidaite, mi Bal Kocho. Which one of these two litigants, of these two buyers, was the one who first achieved the ratzon, the will of the mocher, and which of them is the one who didn't achieve the, he didn't sustain the ratzon of the mocher, he just grabbed onto it. We don't know. So one of them was midaiti, one is balkoch, but who is, you know, will you please stand up and tell us who you are? We don't know that. Therefore, each one has to take a shvua that he doesn't own less than half. And basically, the mochalo sratzalo hare ein lo baklum vade lo yishvash sheker eliyoda. The premise here is that what the Mishnah is establishing is that the one who actually gave the most to the mocher bal korcho, and he never got das machne, he never got any agreement to the mocher, that's the person who's gonna balk if he imposes a shvua on him. He's not gonna want to take a shvuas sheker, so he'll admit. The Gemara says, Lema masnis in the loke ben nanas. Should we assume that our Mishnah is against ben nanas? De'i ben nanas, ha'omar, keitzad elu v'elu boim l'dei shvua shov. What's the case of ben nanas? We're talking about a sugi in shvua sandaf mem hei. The Baal Bayis hired workers, and he has a chenvani who's going to be responsible for divvying out the payment to these workers. And that was the nature of the heske with this chenvani. He would pay out the money on behalf of the laborers to pay them their wages, and then he, the Baal Bayis, would later on pay back the chenvani and give him the money that's due to him. Now the chenvani claims that he already gave the money from pocket, out of pocket, as payment for the work that they did. And therefore he has a claim on the Baal Bayis, please make good for that. I was working on your behalf and you commissioned me to do this. So that's the claim of the Chenvon, that he already gave the money over to the Polim. Now the Polim are coming and suing the Baal Bayis for the Dmei Avoda, for their wages, because they claim that this story never happened. They weren't paid up by the Chenvon. Is Chachoma of the opinion that the Chenvon in such a case had to take a shvua that he already paid up to the Polim? The Polim have to take a shvua they didn't receive any payment. And both of them will collect their money from the Baal Bayis. And on all this, Ben Anas disagrees, and he says, no, it's not possible to impose a shvua on Polim. That's something that we don't recognize. What do we do in this case? I mean, the Chenvani says he paid the Polim, and he wants to get reimbursed from the Baal Bayis. The Polim claim that the Baal Bayis owes them the Dmei Avoda, they never got paid. So is the Chenvani right and he paid them? Are the Polim telling the truth and they never got paid? So in this case, the Chachamim, I'm not talking about Ben Anas yet, they're of the opinion that the Chenvani has to take a shvua that he gave the money, the Polim have to take a shvua that they never received the money, and they both get from the Baal Bayis what's coming to them. The Baal Bayis is going to have to double pay. Ben Nanas disagrees for a different reason. He says, we can't be mashpia both the Polim and the Chenvani, because then one of these two individuals or groups is going to take a shvuas sheker. We, Bezdin, cannot impose a shvua in such a way that there'll definitely be a shvuas sheker. So Gemara says, Le masnisim delo ben Nanas. Ben Nanas is not willing to say that both the Polim and the Chenvani are going to take a shvua, because we know for a fact that one of them is lying. So Ben Anas puts his foot down and he says, there's no way, no how, that I'm going to allow for Bezdin to impose a shvua, knowing full well there'll definitely be a shvua sheker. And now our Mishnah contradicts Ben Anas. The Ben Anas, if our Mishnah was authored by Ben Anas or by a sympathizer, a disciple of Ben Anas, is the Mishnah says that each one takes a shvua that he doesn't have less than half. Ha'amar, but wait a second. Ben Anas says, "Kate said elu v'elu boim l'idei shvua shav." We cannot be mashbia the Baal Edinim with a shvua that definitely will produce some sort of sheker. We see here very well that only one of them lifted it up the talis the talis first, and he was zocha in the entire talis. And we're not going to be mashbia his friend, because his friend will be tempted to take a shvua sheker when he says ein li bapachos michetzio. The Gemara, the Makshin, is working with the premise that in the case of Shnayim Oksim B'Talis, in truth, in fact, one of them picked up the Talis and it was Zochabo. But now, if we're going to be Mashbia, both of them, then one of them is definitely taking a Shua Sheker, and Benanas would object and say, I can't allow the administration of two Shvuas in a case of law where we know for a fact that one of them is going to be a Shua Sheker. We don't want a hand in that. The Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Benanas. In our Mishnah, Ben Anas could accept the principle of both of them taking a shvua. And why is that? Hasam, in the case of the Polim and the Chenvoni Vade Ika Shvua Shav. We know for sure that one of them is lying through his teeth. Either the Chenvoni paid the Polim, which is the claim of the Chenvoni, and when the Polim say we never got paid, they're lying, or vice versa. So that's a Vade Ika Shvua Shav, and therefore Ben Anas says we cannot do this. We cannot institute two shvuas, one of which is definitely going to be a shvuas shav. But hacha, there is a possibility that there is no shvuas shav in the case of Shnayim Oksdas. Ikal Meimar, the leka shvuas shav, Emor Chavayu, Bahari Adad, the Yagbu. Notice the Gemara doesn't know if they both picked it up at the same time for sure, but the Gemara is raising that as a possibility. And if we want to say that possibly both of them picked up the talis together, then everyone should get half the talis. But rather, kol echad sover shu igbiya tchila v'talis kula, shalom. But in this case, what we're saying is that everyone should get half the talis. Why is everyone claiming the full talis for his? Because he says, I did the agba first, and the talis is mine. Mekecha memkar, it's possible that the mocher decided to sell to two people. And since we have no vados, we have no definite certain assumption or conclusion that one of them is definitely taking a shvuah sheker, therefore even Benanis would accept that we could be mashbia these two shvuahs. Because again, there's always the possibility that they picked it up together, and in the case of Mecha Chumemka, that the mocher was misratze to sell it to both of them. Now the Gemara quotes the Shita of Sumchus. And there's a pattern here in the Gemara that seems to repeat itself. The Gemara is trying to whittle down the Mishnah to a very specific Shita, and it's Ke'ilu. There are too many Chidushim in this Mishnah that cannot be accepted universally by all the Tanon, the first Chidush of which is that both litigants will take a Shvua, and presumably, at least in the Hava Mina, one of them is going to take a shvuah shav. Now there's another chiddush of the Mishnah. Lema masnisin delo kisumchus, the kisumchus amar moment amutu b'sobe cholkim below shvuah. So for example, if I sell you, let's say there's going to be a chalip in here and a parah and a shar, let's say. So the bala shar is going to claim, let's say the case of shar shenogeh chasapara. And what happens is, after the negicha, we find ubra mes betzida, we find the fetus of this pregnant cow is dead. Of course, the owner of the shar is going to tell us that the birth process here took place after the negicha, and the baal apar is going to say, no, it took place before the negicha. And we have here, according to Sumchus, a classical case of Momen Amutal B'Safek, and the din is Yachloku B'lo Shvua, and yet our Mishnah insists on each one taking a Shvua. We don't know whether the Leda of the Ubar on the part of the Parah took place before or after the Negicha, or in Kinyonim Chalipin before or after the Chalipin, is therefore we say Yachloku, but there's no Shvua. Says Gemara Lamai, by cross elimination Rabbanon, you're telling me that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbanon, and that's going to justify that each one in our Mishnah takes a Shvua, Ha'amri Amotzi Mechavero, all of Haraya. And in this case, each one brings his raya that he's holding on to half of it, and that should support his claim that he was magbia. There's no need for shvua in this case either. So even according to the Rabbanon, what's going on over here? Motzi mechavel v'ray in the case of momen amutah b'safek. There's no requirement of a shvua. And again, we don't know where the edus here is, because if the Gemara is insisting that there's edim on behalf of each one, that half the talus is, and therefore there's no need for a shvua, I don't know where the edim come in. That's what we have to iron out here. Hi, Mai, says Gemara. I am pishleim rabbanon hasam de lo tafsi travayu amru rabbanon motzim mechavel v'raya. In the case where the Baal Hashor Shanoga Chesapora are arguing in Bezdin, and neither one of them are muhsak, there's no muhsak here. And again, if you take a look at Tosfos learns there's no muhsak on the Shara Mazik. Is there a opponent say, Amotzi Mechavel V'raya? Then it makes sense that we're going to say, Amotzi Mechavel V'raya, and whoever has to be Motzi from his friend. For example, if the Nizak wants to be Motzi from the Baal Shor Shanogach, he's got the burden of proof is on him. But here in the case of Shnai Motzi Metalis, Travayu Tafsi, they both grabbed onto the Talis. Each one is really a Muchzak on the Talis. So what are you going to tell me? Amotzi Mechavel V'raya? What do you mean Amotzi Mechavel V'raya? When they're both Muchzakim, is therefore Palgi Lo B'Shvua. The only thing that could help us clarify a little bit is if each one is forced, is coerced to take a Shvua. But Eli Iyam et Sumchus is Hashto Ma'os and the Lo Tafsi Travayu is Cholkim Lo Shvua. The Tafsi Travayu Lo Kolshkein. If Sumchus says that even without any Muchzakus, we still say Yachloku, and there's no need for a Shvua, here, where they're both holding on to it, and they both have substantiated their claim with a great proof because they're holding on to half the talus each one, is how much more so that Tzumchus would hold Yachloka below Shavua. Ella. So the Gemara says, now, Afilu Tema Tzumchus, Ki Omar Tzumchus. When does Tzumchus say that? Momen Amutu B'Safik Cholka below Shavua, that's only Shema V'Shema. If each tzad, each of the two litigants, is claiming Shema, neither the Masik nor the Nizik were there on the spot at the time of the Negicha. They don't know exactly when the Par gave birth, was before or after the Negicha. That's called Shema v'Shema. And there's no possibility of a Shvua. Avol Bar Yubar, if each one claims that he knows for sure what the Metzius is, he was there at the time the Hesik, he knows that the Par was born later, or vice versa. That is the case where we have a parallel to our mission of Metzias Talis. Each one is claiming that he was the one who picked it up first, and therefore it's a bari-bari situation. In that case, Lo Omar, Sumchus never said his din of Yachloku below Shvua. Sumchus only said in a case where a Shvua is totally inapplicable. Both Stodim are saying a Tainis Shema. Maybe. So naturally we're going to divide it and without any Shvua. But in the case of Bari Bari, where both claimants are saying that we know it's ours, like I picked up the talus first, is Sumchus didn't say Cholke below Shvua, maybe Sumchus would certainly indeed require a Shvua. To support a Tainis Bari against another Tainis Bari, you got to have a Shvua. Now the Gemara asks, Ula Rabba Baravuna di Omar Omar Sumchus Afilu Bari Bari. Rabba Baravuna's Shita is later on, that Sumchus is talking about even a case of Bari Ubari. Still, nevertheless, Sumchus is willing to say that we should be Achloku below Shvua. Is Michael and Mamer, so what are you going to say about our Mishnah? How does our Mishnah possibly, how can you reconcile with Sumchus? Our Mishnah assumes that even in two tainis Bari we're going to be Cholkim b'Shvua, whereas according to Sumchus in Rabba's frame of reference, if each one is claiming a Tainas Bari, then Yachloku Bishvua. So we're still in trouble here. Gemara says, Afilu Tevis Sumchus, Ki Omer Sumchus, when does Sumchus say, we'll split it with and drop the ball on the Shvua? That's only Echadi Kajor de Mamona, which means that below Tanus Sevi, Sophic Lebezdin, Aval Echadi Lekajor de Mamona is low. Sumchus never said that Yachloku is without a Shvuah. As soon as we get to a case of leka drar de mamona, then you know we really need a shvua. In drar de mamona, we know that it's mamona mutal b'safek. We don't even have to hear what the litigants say. I mean, the picture, the video camera speaks, says it all. There's going to be a clear-cut suffix as to who owns this mama. And that's called drar de mamona. In such a case, Simcha says there's no need for shvua. But if there's no drar de mamona, and this is all a matter of fighting it out, one litigant says, oh, I took it, the other litigant says, oh, I took it, they should take a shvua. So the word says, I don't get it. V'lav kabachomri, the logic should go just the reverse, punk faker. Hasam dika drar de mamona lamar, vika drar de mamona lamar. Back there in the case of Shoshanaga Kesapara, each one has a drar de mamona. Because then I understand very well. And here we turn to Akimel Amid Aleph. Ikulamemer, Kulamar, Ikulamemer, Kulamar, Amasunkas Mamana Mutabisafek, Chol Kibelo Shvua. Since there's a logical possibility that, and perhaps even more than a logical possibility, but an assumption on our part, is then we should say yachloku below shvur. There's an assumption on our part that kulamar and kulamar, right? It's either all of Reuven's, he's the Baal Ashara Nogeach, or it's all of Shimon's, the Baal Ashara Niga Nizak. Is then Sumchus is going to tell me that even though, you know, the stakes are pretty high over here, we don't have no real logical reason that compels us to say Yachlok, each one deserves half, really one of them should deserve the whole, and yet Sumchus waves the Shvuas Hacha here in the case of Drarad de Leka, Drarad de Mamona, which means if we're going to say Yachloku without a Shvua, you don't know, maybe there's nobody losing over here because maybe they both, the Emer, Digilamem and Chavayu, they both picked up the Talis simultaneously. Is lo kol shkein, how much more so should we say that the psak should be without a shvua if a case where there's so much at stake that someone's going to lose and we really have reason to believe that someone is going to lose, and yet despite all that that presses us to require shvua, Simchus waves the shvua? Is how much more so in a case where we don't really need so much hard work and so much of a shvua? We really believe that our yachloku is al piemes. Because Iklamemit Shavayu says the Gemara Filu Teimus Sumchus Shvuah Zu Mid Rabbonani Ked Rabbi Yochanan Dem Rabbi Yochanan Shvuah Zu Takonas Chachamim Ishlo Yekol Echad Veyechad Holech V'Tokev Talisa Shlav Rama Shaliyu. In truth, Sumchus universally would say there's no Shvuah Yachlok Velo Shvuah. Here specifically, there was a separate Takonas Chachamim because Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that, you know what, it's quite common that when we get to a case of a metzia, something that's ownerless, you know, one is going to grab it out of the other. And therefore, we need a shvua desperately. Mamela Maskonas HaGemara at this point is that our Misha could work out even according to Sumchus. So we failed in two attempts. One attempt was to say our Mishnah could not work out with Benanas, and the other attempt was to say our Mishnah could not be reconciled with Sumchus. We were successful in offering a possibility that the Mishnah could be reconciled with Benanas. You're going to tell me one of them is taking Shavuah Shav and we can't impose such Shavuahs? No, the answer is each one is taking a Shavuah MS because he says, they both picked it up at the same time. And we can work out Sumchus with our Mishnah because our Mishnah is not based on the classical halachas of Mamana Mutal B'Safek Cholkim and according to Sumchus below Shavuah, but rather this is, as Rabbi Yochanan informed, it's a special Takonis Chachamim that was instituted here to require Shavuah Shelo Yei Adam Tokev B'Mamon Shel Chaver V'Yomer Shalit. Stop here.